you're going to be seeing from our office, both in terms of the people who are part of our staff, but also as we're working with our colleagues at the education department and also at a number of the other agencies, of really trying to directly work with communities to kind of create deeper public-private partnerships. So the federal government really kind of stepping up to kind of come in and help communities as they put together their plans to kind of take on education challenges for their communities and to help them really kind of move to the next level. I think a second piece is that there is also kind of be a strengthened kind of interagency working team that we've got kind of going on. And kind of once again, building on what's happened in the past, the Domestic Policy Council kind of coming into being a part of that, but really kind of with the president asking agencies to really step up to be a part of this just because of the importance in terms of the demographic changes, Latinos now being kind of the largest and fastest growing group, minority group in the country. We're the largest group in the pre-K through 12 system today already. So pushing almost 12 million, over 22% in that kind of pre-K through 12 age group is also another thing I think that has really, you know, with this particular executive order has gotten the president to reach out to the agencies and saying, we really need your folks to step up to be a part of the interagency working group so that we can make sure that we're really kind of helping everyone who's involved.
You seem to insinuate there's several other agencies that are going to play pretty significant roles in this effort. Can you kind of go through some of the other agencies either on the interagency working group or maybe even some of the other roles that maybe the average person may not think about?
One of the things we needed to do was to get out of D.C., and to be able to kind of introduce the initiative office to communities nationwide. So we went around the country to kind of first introduce ourselves, but we also wanted, we did three things. We wanted to introduce ourselves to the community. We wanted to be able to hear directly from folks on the ground what they were experiencing throughout the education system and to get a sense of the issues or the challenges that they felt are critical for the community. And third is we wanted to say, okay, and what's the action piece going to look like when we think about these public-private partnerships? The communities and the leaders from the different communities across the country told us three things. One, we know there are lots of opportunities at the education department itself, and but people were really honest. They said, you know, sometimes we find out about these opportunities at the last minute or we don't find out about them at all. They said, Juan, we're going to be really honest with you. A lot of times we don't know what it means, so we just try to use the words that you're putting in the proposals, but we're not really getting a sense of what the government is thinking about. So the first track they asked for us was really just kind of Education Department 101. Can you help us get connected to the key staff, to the key members of the different parts of the education department so that we can early on better understand what the thinking is, what the programs are, the opportunities, the data we can get access to, but specifically really building relationships with key people in the education department. We said, absolutely, we need to do that. The second piece was, you know, we know there are a lot of agencies that have education-focused components. I just mentioned HHS, the Labor Department in terms of adult education, STEM at the National Science Foundation, the Agriculture Department. There's so many other departments. We were working with OMB last summer to literally put together a list of all the education-focused programs that are not housed at the Education Department, and there's a ton of them. But the communities, once again, kind of rightfully so, told us, we wish there was some more of a clearinghouse or something where we could kind of get that information so we wouldn't have to kind of go around trying to find it ourselves. And then the final piece we heard from folks on the ground, they understand that in order for them to be successful, it's not just what's going to be taking place in the classroom, but it's also the environment, the neighborhoods, the communities that we live and work in. And so they also said, help us get connected to agencies who are taking on those bigger, broader issues that are maybe not education-focused, but we know they're going to be critical to creating the strong and better environment that we need for our sons and daughters and our kids and the adults to be successful. And that's what we're looking to do to kind of carry out as we really kind of tap the strength and the expertise of our federal agencies and employees of what we want to have happen with the interagency working team.
When an executive order comes out like this, and especially around education, what's the impact on the federal employees? Are there a host of new things that they're going to have to do? Is it, okay, here's what we're already doing, we just have to refocus it a little? Do you know yet what the impact on the Education Department employees are going to be from this executive order?
I think one thing that's important for folks to understand, there's both a question of what are the new things that are coming into the executive order that are going to have an impact on employees, but I think another important piece is what are we taking away from the past executive orders that also has a direct impact on the employees. So I'll give you a very specific example. In the past, the office had a heavy focus on backward-looking reporting. And what I mean by that is we were asking each agency, tell me what you did in the last year that was education-focused that was impacting the Hispanic community. And I'll be honest, there are so many things going on for our employees who have just so much on their plate and doing such great work, but just tons of things that they have to try to handle. That the reality was that for a good chunk of the history of the initiative, most agencies just weren't complying. They just weren't doing it because they didn't have the staff, it wasn't high enough of a priority. And so even though it was in the order, the implementation side was that it really wasn't getting done. And when the reports were done, in terms of helping people moving forward, I mean, it was now, it was a nice historical document to show what had happened in the past. And a lot of times agencies, the few who did, would kind of, you know, were a couple years behind. And so what we decided is we also thought it was important for us to talk directly to career folks because we know they have the experience, the years, they understand the system. And so we asked them, is this working for you? And they were real honest to say, no, it's not. It's not helping move the mission of the initiative forward. And so one thing we took out of the executive order was this annual requirement that agencies really weren't kind of complying with to kind of get a sense of what those agencies were doing to help the Hispanic community with education. Then we said, okay, well, if that didn't work, what is more likely to work? So the impact it's going to have both on education department employees that we've already been doing this and also with other agencies is literally the ability to get connected in a more strategic way, communities that are looking to go to the next level with a lot of these issues and to be able to kind of, you know, really kind of get that information to them to really have a true kind of public-private partnership that helps us actually move action on the ground. That's the change that you're going to see. And what we've seen already is we've started to put together teams and have really reached out to our career employees, both at the education department and some of the other agencies. They're excited. They like it because it's a chance to have that kind of direct connection and impact.
What's the impact on your office? Because this is something you guys have been focused on. You obviously were created more than 20 years ago,
right?
Your office around this executive order. But now you get new requirements, some things leave, new things come. Do you have to hire more people? Does your office have to expand?
We have to take advantage of the career staff that are already there to come and join and be part of our team. So President Obama has really pushed that we have to get out of our silos and that we can't just kind of stay in our little niches within our agencies, either within our agencies or across agencies. And so what has meant for us that we've been able to tap great folks at the Education Department who we can get a chunk of their time, and they're literally traveling with us. They're helping us kind of work on so many different pieces, and it changes our ability to really kind of create a larger team without having to kind of, you know, try to force a structure, particularly in these tough economic times for us as a federal government, to not have to think the old way of thinking, either you ask for more staff and just increase the budget or you don't, and saying, no, there's a third option, which is how do we get smarter about how we do our work as federal employees in the 21st century and really create these work teams that come together, do their things, and at certain points people step up and play a larger role, at other times they step back, but that we can constantly be kind of redefining who is a part of the team so that we can really match what the community is asking us to do.